Thank you for listening to Murder on My Mind. Now that you've finished the series, we have another podcast that we think will be your next true crime obsession called Killer Psyche. Some crimes are so shocking, so disturbing, you can't help but ask why. What motivated such depravity? Retired FBI criminal profiler Candace DeLong spent decades answering that very question. On each episode of Killer Psyche, Candace delves into the mind of criminals like the Unabomber, Lizzie Borden, and El Chapo to reveal fascinating details about what drove them to commit such horrific acts. Was it power, ego, revenge? Candace shares her psychological methods and profiling techniques to shed light on the darkest corners of these twisted minds. I'm about to play you a preview of a Killer Psyche episode diving into the mind of Diane Stoudy, the criminal behind the antifreeze murders. While you're listening, be sure to follow Killer Psyche, which is available in an ad-free listening experience for Wondery Plus members. You can join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.
I was a psychiatric nurse and then an FBI criminal profiler. In the 5 decades I've spent studying people's minds, I've interviewed countless murderers, including many serial killers. Why did they do it? To get a satisfying answer, we have to dive deep into their psyche to figure out what made them do what they did. This episode is Diane and Rachel Stoudy. It was 2012, and the Springfield, Illinois blues band Messing with Destiny had a problem. They had a gig coming up in Branson, Missouri, and their lead singer and guitarist, Mark Stoudy, seemed a little, quote, out of whack. Mark was struggling to concentrate. He would start to play his guitar and then just inexplicably stop after a few chords. His bandmates chalked it up to a bad day, but became even more concerned the next day, April 7th, when Mark showed up to celebrate his 61st birthday at one of the bandmates' houses. This time, it was not just his behavior that was off. Mark's physical appearance was disturbing. His skin was very yellow. At home later that day, Mark complained of flu-like symptoms to his wife of 27 years, 50-year-old Diane. He told her he had a horrible headache, body aches, nausea, and diarrhea. As Mark climbed into bed, Diane brought him some Gatorade. Because she was a registered nurse and held a supervisory position at a large healthcare insurance company, people assumed that Mark was in good hands. But over the next 12 hours, Mark's health rapidly deteriorated. He began vomiting and getting weaker and weaker. If Diane had concerns, she did not express them. However, the oldest of the couple's 4 children did. As the evening wore on, 26-year-old Sean Stoudy got online and wrote, "My father is getting sicker. His voice is slurred. His walking is wobbly." The following day was Easter Sunday. Diane left her sick husband in bed and went to morning services at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Springfield. Diane was a very devout, active member in her church and its longtime organist. Both she and her third child, 21-year-old Rachel, played multiple instruments and were a big part of the church's musical ministry. Much to Diane's dismay, her other children, Sean, 23-year-old Sarah, and 11-year-old Brianna, had chosen not to be as involved with religion or her church. When Diane returned home from services around midday, she found that Mark had started having seizures. Once again, Diane, a registered nurse, did not call for help. That only happened after Mark's third seizure. Well, 45 minutes after the seizure, when he stopped breathing. After confirming that Mark had no pulse, Diane waited another 5 minutes and then called 911. When a police officer showed up to the home, Diane told the officer that Mark had been unwell for a few days, basically just eating less and sleeping more. She told the officer that Mark did not have a history of seizures, but he had suffered three of them that day. The officer quite logically asked, why had she not called 911 earlier? Diane claimed that she would have, but that Mark had refused to go to the hospital. She told them that her husband was bipolar, drank excessively, smoked marijuana, did other drugs, ate poorly, and never exercised. Because his death occurred at home and it was uncertain what could have caused it, his body was sent to the county medical examiner's office. Although the medical examiner did note a ring of dried blood around Mark's mouth, he did not perform an autopsy and ruled that Mark's death was due to natural causes, the result of his unhealthy lifestyle. After no other officials reported signs of foul play, Diane had his body cremated and his ashes scattered in a lake. A few weeks after Mark's death, Diane asked the members of his band to perform a musical tribute to him during his memorial service. The bandmates observed Diane being happy and chatty during the service, and they saw no signs of grief. Quote, she was acting more concerned about being the perfect host and making sure that the guests were looked after, but no sign of grief, no tears. It was like she was hosting a party. After Diane collected Mark's $20,000 life insurance policy, she used the payout to purchase a new house. Diane and her four children moved into the larger home located in a nicer part of town. But just 5 months after Mark's death, tragedy struck once again. On September 2, 2012, Springfield police were called to the Stouty family's new house because Sean had stopped breathing. Diane told the officer that she had last spoken to her son the night before when he said he was not feeling well. Diane said she had checked on him throughout the night, then went to church in the morning with her daughter, Rachel. When they returned from church, they found Sean curled up on his bedroom floor with a blanket around his stomach. Diane called 911 after she discovered he had no pulse. She told police that Sean had been experiencing flu-like symptoms, headache, diarrhea, nausea, and body aches, off and on for a few weeks. The officer did not see any major injuries on Sean, but did notice what appeared to be dried blood around his mouth. Diane explained that her son was on the autism spectrum, had a congenital kidney defect, and a long history of seizures. In fact, he had a seizure just 3 days before, but she did not take him to the doctor because he was able to stay hydrated. This time, the medical examiner's office performed an autopsy. In spite of Sean's sudden acute illness, he ruled his death as natural due to prior medical issues. The autopsy report cited Sean's congenital kidney defect and his prior history of seizures. The Stouties did not hold a funeral or memorial service for Sean. His body was cremated immediately after it was released by the medical examiner. The only recognition of his death was when Diane collected Sean's $15,000 life insurance policy and used it to pay some household bills. Sometime after Sean's death, Sarah Stouty found her mother's journal and read a shocking entry that was a year old. Diane had predicted her father and brother's deaths. even more distressing, Diane wrote that Sarah's death was looming as well.
You can hear the rest of this episode and other chilling true crime stories on the Killer Psyche podcast. And remember, you can listen to Killer Psyche early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.